Well, Will, you're going to be doing the praying, if that's okay. Let's close your eyes and bow our heads, folks.
Dear Father, thank you this day, Lord. Thank you for this safe and straight into the house this morning, Lord. We welcome the number, Lord. Blessings in heaven and earth, just coming into the house of Scripture as well, Lord. Save me, say a blessing today in our lives, Lord. The lives of our families, in our friends, and our people that we meet, Lord. And Lord, see so safe, mighty, powerful, not only in the city, but throughout the world, Lord. The service that has started, or started, have already started, or are about to start, Lord. May use those to preach the gospel, a fresh Christian life, and Lord, use the support to make those who are lost. If we make that decision to come to the full world cross, to Calvary, to lay off their sin load and to accept Jesus Christ as the one and powerful Savior. See so mighty powerful, Lord. With the tracks that went out months past, or weeks past, or months, or years, Lord, use those mighty and powerful to convict those whenever they read them. By the Spirit, Lord, to turn their lives over to Jesus and for salvation as well, Lord. Give our families, give our families, if any, be backslid or lost, Lord, save them, might be part of this, Lord. Give our partners come to the Lord's gospel, Lord, and give an answer from the Spirit, Lord, and direct us in their words, to the words that would be applicable to our lives, Lord, and direct it and build us up, and give us where we fall in their words to enrich our lives, Lord, and bless us, give us, Lord. Give Paul where it is, deliver him from any trouble, Lord. Keep him safe and well, Lord, from any harm. And Lord, bring him back to us as well, Lord. Also, with Steve and Alan John, Lord, bring him back to church. And we have Pat and Steve, Lord. Help Pat, Steve, help Pat for heart murmur, and our people as well, Lord. Deal with my name, bring him back to church, Lord. Give us this day, Lord. We say a blessing. Give us give a message in our hearts today, Lord. It sets us up for a new commission. Send us with, Lord.
Amen. All right. If you want to take your big hymn books and turn to number two. Number two in the big hymn book, that is one called Glory to His Name. Amen. I learned this one when I came to Bethel nearly 30 years ago, and I've been singing it ever since, on and off. It's a good old hymn. Glory to His name. Hymn number two in the big hymn book. So we'll just remain seated for this one.
Glory.
what? I think we will. We'll do 185, 185. I haven't summed this for a little bit. This is one called My Saviour's Love. And it's one of those hymns that seems to be in with the crowd, and you know it's there, but you don't sing it very often. But this morning we will. If you're able, join me on our feet as we praise the Lord with the words of My Saviour's Love, 185. Wrong end of any bother. So As somebody once said, it's hard to fall when you're on your hands and knees in prayer, and that's a good position to be coming from. Matthew chapter 8. Let's read. The Word of God says, when he, that is Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith to the man, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, excuse me, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of a palsy, excuse me, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his sword, and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. Amen. Taking those last few verses as our text, I just want to bring you a few thoughts on the subject of excuses. And we'll commence with a wee word of prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the freedom that we have, so as often as we like in the day, to come before you in prayer. And we pray you now, Lord, that you'd be one of our number, that you would touch, excuse me, our bodies, souls, and minds, that you would minister to us, Lord, and deliver us this day what it is that we need, and not just us, Lord, but folks right the way across the world. Pray that you would just be, especially with the people that are getting, whose lives are in peril, Lord, at the moment, anywhere in the world, Lord, but especially in North Carolina where all that flooding's going on. And we pray as well for all the fighting going on in and around Israel and Gaza and the Golan Heights and Syria and, Lord, everywhere around there. Please, I pray, Lord, bless and keep the Jews. And Father, just make good on your promise and your Old Testament to bless them, that bless them, bless the souls that bless the Jews, and to curse those souls that curse the Jews, Lord. And let that be true.
I pray, Father, please, that many countries would not suffer because of their leaders, and that souls would be saved. We love you and thank you, Father. Leave these things at your feet and pray that you, for your wisdom and guidance as we take this tour through your word. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Excuses. It's not something we like to dwell on very much, and it's not something we really, are happy when people give us excuses, but sometimes we're all too happy to make them for ourselves, especially whenever it gets us out of a hole. And we don't have to be taught how to make excuses, and we don't have to be taught how to point the blame to somebody else. That just seems to be a pretty much a survival instinct, and it's in us from no age at all. It has to be combated, and it has to be controlled. It is odd, but that's human nature. Our little portion of God's word kicks off when the Lord has just come back from helping people, the bit that we're interested in. Not necessarily giving them what the world thinks they should have, but what the Lord knows they definitely want. We come across a leper is one of the first people we come across, and he's not looking for £1 million or a new chariot with low profile wheels. He is looking for his health. In fact, he actually says, Lord, if you would, you could make me clean. And of course, the promises of God is that he would take his sins and iniquities upon us. He didn't want money. Money's no good to you when you're too sick to do anything with it. He wanted his family and his friends and to be a part of life again. Next person we come across is a centurion. And he has accosted the Lord, and he says, Lord, would you heal my servant? And Jesus says, right, I'm on my way. And the centurion says, look, I understand about authority. I know the way it works. I have heard the stories. I have heard you calm the waves. I've heard you cast out the devils. I know that you have authority anywhere and everywhere. All you need to do is say the word. I understand what it is. I know whenever I tell someone to go do something, they're supposed to go and do it. Now, I appreciate that you can do the same. And that's exactly what he does. He heals his precious servant. He doesn't ask for victory over his enemies. He doesn't ask for peace in the land that he is keeping peaceful. He is asking for a precious servant, for a soul. And then whenever he gets to Peter's house, Peter doesn't ask for a new lick of paint. And he doesn't ask for the hoovering to be done or the dusting to be done. His mother-in-law's sick with a fever. And who knows what that could be. But the Lord touched her. And she rose up and she helped. She gave people refreshment. She ministered to them. And as if that wasn't enough, as soon as word gets out that the Lord is in the house, the people start to come from everywhere. And they want them to heal them, and they want the demons cast out. And that's exactly what he does, because that was his promise, that he would take all our sins and iniquities, our infirmities and our sicknesses upon himself. And whenever he sees all the bunches of folks about, he says, let's go. We're going to depart to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And even as he moves in that direction, a certain scribe, a religious man, one of the leaders, he comes up to him and says, Master, wherever you are going, I am going with you. And the Lord said to him, look, I'm not going home. I'm not going to my living room. I'm not even going to my bed. I am going on a journey for God this life. What does he say? The birds, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, the Lord's work wasn't done. The Lord worked until he could work no more, and then he went up to heaven and left it in our hands. It's a destination. It's not a destination. It is a journey. And wherever you go in this world, it's not a matter of you going to be a Christian, you go as a Christian. Whatever you speak, it's not you're going to say something Christian, you speak as a Christian. And whatever you do, the Lord was telling this man, you need to do it as a Christian. Next person that says, do you know what? I'll follow you after my folks are gone. My dad's dead. And the Lord says this very strange thing to him. He says, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. They're dead. And I got to thinking about that, because sometimes whenever there's strange things mentioned in the Bible, they're worth chewing over and mulling over and even coming at them from different points of view. And I thought of immediately, if any one of us was a Christian and we waited until we were out of sight of those that we loved to be a Christian, what good would that be? That's almost like putting the salt on the table but not actually using it. You'll not get the salty flavor. You think, in the case of his father, it may have been an inheritance issue. And he wouldn't have been the first man to say to his mom and dad, you know what, I've been listening to this Jesus fella, and the stuff that he's been talking about, you know what, it makes sense. But not only that, he is demonstrating and proving the words that he speaks in his deeds, in casting demons out and healing the sick and all of those things. And he wouldn't have been the first person to say, if you have anything to do with that Jesus, you're not my son anymore, I'm going to disown you. And so immediately he started thinking of, well, all I need to do is hang about until my dad dies and then I can be a Christian. But if we were to wait until, for instance, in this instance, our moms and dads die before we live like Christians, what witness would they ever have of Christ in their lives and the change that he could make for the better? The old devil is not a gentleman. And he will use anything and everything that he can to make sure that you do not behave like a Christian, that your street cred might be affected, your bank credit might be affected, and let's be honest, there are people that have had that happen to them in England. Nigel Farage being one of them, one of the banks cut him off because he was being too conservative and not even being a Christian, but it's happened to other people. Don't let folks stop you from serving God. People need to see. I also came across, and I'm sure you'll remember these other three, in quotes, excuses that are taken from a neighbouring parable, where there was a great party and a man invited many, many people. And the Bible records that without, as far as the parable goes, that without exception they began to make excuses, and one of them said, I bought a yoke of oxen. Another one said, I bought a plot of land. And another one said, I have married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come to this supper. And it was very sad that, it's not just sad, it's what do they call it, a Greek tragedy when something goes badly wrong. That people would consider the invitation of God Almighty that inconsequential, that they would go and choose to do something that they could be doing any other time of the day or night instead of spending that time with God. But friends, if you were to look around the town, and you don't even have to go very far, even the farmer was complaining about not being able to get a church because he had to wrangle cattle. He's going to prove a yoke of oxen. But that's a whole different kettle of fish. Why would you do that? Unless you have no regard and no respect for the person that you're doing it to. A yoke of oxen is a thing. A thing that can be tended to any time. And especially if If you bought a plot of land, it's not something you just tripped over and found yourself owning a plot of land. It took plans, and that can be done any time. And just because you're married to someone doesn't mean you can go and you can't go and serve God. Goodness gracious me. If your heart is really on things and stuff and not on God, you have a problem. Or the other one might be showing just exactly who is leading the family whenever you can't go and worship and praise the Lord because of your wife. Or as far as the oxen or the land go again, it just shows what really brings people joy. Their hearts are not in the right place. Like, anything will bring you joy until the new smell, the new thing smell goes off. But that so that's how people sell. Instead of using a, I have a really cheap phone, and I just can't bring myself to spend £500 or £600, or is it more like £1,500 on a new phone? That's not me. I can't do that. But even when I get a new phone, I'm all enamored with it. But to be enamored with a thing to such a point that it blots out the most important things in the world, in your life, you're in a bad situation. Don't make excuses. And of all things in this world, don't make excuses when it comes to obeying God. Don't do it. Some people might stop talking to you if you make excuses not to go visit them. Some people might not want to have anything to do with you anymore, and you might just be shunned with them if you start making excuses about, I don't want to spend time with you. God's not that person. And here's the reason why, Christian. Because God owns you. Lock, stock, and barrel. And you are not going to turn your nose up at God and thumb your nose up at him as a child of his and walk away with, what did your mummy ever do to you when you misbehaved? Was it the slipper? Was it the Sally rod? Was it a thick ear? Was it a bend over the knee and a paddle on the backside until you said sorry? That's what your mother and father did for you because you belong to them. If you start thumbing your nose at God, Christian, what do you think? God? It's good for you to obey God. It's good for him because it pleases him that we obey God. But it's also good for the people around and about of us to serve God, to please God. There's a great little verse that springs to mind from time to time. Whether it's a thing or whether it's a people, this is what the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Simply because the world can be used to leverage you, just like a barnacle off a rock can be used to leverage you off of God, off of the solid rock. This is what the Bible says. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of God. It's of the world. The world passes away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I know sometimes, especially as we look around us, it seems like there's nothing but pitfalls and traps. I remember seeing a martial arts movie many years ago. Do you ever see those posts that they have with all the sticks and they use them to practice blocks with their hands? And as you hit one, it swings the post around and there's another one on a different level. And sometimes it seems like life is like that. That you just deal with one issue and you're just setting it down out of the way, and another one comes from somewhere else. Sometimes it can be seen difficult, but friends, regardless of what's going on in the world, keep your eyes on the Lord, and you will be equipped to deal with what's coming at you from the world. All of the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil tempt you with, or fools you into thinking will be an advantage to you, or thrill you with, there's always a cost. There's always a cost. People say, oh, I have plenty of money. Good for you. Enjoy it. Somebody might say, I am young and fit and strong. Enjoy it and make the most of it. But there is always a cost. There's many a person has paid for their thrills and spills with their body. It's broken. Their health is destroyed. There's many a person has paid for their thrills and spills with their money. It's all gone. There's many a person who's paid with, for their thrills and their spills with their family and with their friends. But they're all gone. And God doesn't want that for us. All of the things that you have in this world, God has blessed you with for you to put to good use. So put them to good use. The Lord tells us, and he said one time, in a number of the Gospels it's recorded, what profit is there to you if you get every single thing that you want and lose your own soul? Even if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what use is that? I think Norman was reading a wee bit about in Joel there about the hard times that people's going to have and never be satisfied and never happy no matter what sat in front of them. That's, happiness doesn't come from within. Happiness comes from happenings, from doing things, or things being done for you or to you. But joy comes from knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that you're going to heaven someday. Even you, Christian, the devil might not be able to drag your soul down to hell, but he'll take everything that you have and your testimony if you let him. Don't let him. I remember in school whenever people were asked to bring their homeworks in. Wasn't that a joyful part of the week whenever you were in primary school or even in secondary school? Have you got your homeworks there? And some days you might be wanting to slide down the back of the seat and hope nobody noticed you were there, especially when it came to reading out the results. There might have been one or two excuses. Oh, I was sick and I couldn't do my homework. I think a lot of families bought dogs just so the children could say, the dog ate my homework. And some of them were valid. I am sure. The Lord knows. But not all of them are. The Lord knows when we're getting a tough time. And the Lord knows when we are well enough to be doing something. And you're only kidding yourself if you think that you can spin a yarn and fool the Lord. So don't. Be honest. The Lord knows straight away. You might as well be upfront and honest with him. In Philippians chapter 4, it tells you to bear everything to God. Don't be worrying. Don't be fretting. Just in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I am going to tell you something, friends. I pray about standing in front of the church. I pray about getting out of bed on Sunday mornings. But I'm going to tell you, it's a struggle. I pray about getting up and doing stuff. Will there be enough time? Lord, I really don't feel like this morning. I rarely do. And not just because I'm only running about 80%. I'm talking on a good day. But I know those are only a small selection of the excuses that the world, the flesh, and the devil will supply to anybody. to make them feel a little bit better if they don't do what God asks us to do. If we don't do what God asks us to do. One man had these two men had great promises that we read about. Oh, I'd love to follow you, and I would love to be a great testimony, you know, whenever it's convenient for me, whenever I've gotten my heart right. But I've just got so much going on right now. You know what, Lord? And you know that I have these things in front of me. And the Lord does know what things you have in front of me. But instead of looking for reasons not to serve God, not to listen to God, look for a reason to listen to God. You know what, Lord? I know it'll cost me a bit of time if I go out and do that now. But why don't I? I wasn't, as you know, I haven't been feeling the best. I went out to, I crawled out of bed at about 8 o'clock yesterday. And I thought, oh, this quilt's wild heavy. I thought, do you know what? I'm just getting out, no matter how I feel, I'm getting out of bed, I'm getting it done, and then it'll be done and dusted, and I went out and washed the car, and then I went out and got the car hoovered, and then I went out and had the steam part of the car, because silly me spilt milk on one of the seats a week or two back, because the MOT's tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and I just did it. And then I was able to sit on my tail the rest of the day and not do very much except get the notes done. Otherwise, I could be looking at doing it this afternoon. It is always better even to serve the Lord first and get it done and dusted, in quotes, out of the way, so that your conscience is salved, your king is happy, your father is pleased with you, and then crack on. Look for reasons to do something for God. Lord, what could you do if I did this for you? Look for a reason to obey instead of disobey. From our point of view, why should we? Why should we do what God asked us to do? Bear in mind, this is God that created the universe and everything in it. This is God that has stepped into and out of time over the past 6,000 years. This is God that gave his life on the cross for us. This is God that preserved this book that we can read about and see how things are coming true even today. Why should we? Well, A, God said so. And I would rather be on God's side than on the world's side. From our point of view, we feel better whenever we obey God. And it pleases God whenever we obey God. And people get a Christian witness whenever we obey God. And whenever they see all of that, maybe they'll even think, you know what? Maybe I can have a bit of that. Because that's what saved me. Wanting a bit of what a man singing in the church had. There is going to come a day. There's going to come a day when every single soul that said no to God, no, I don't think what your son did on the cross was good enough for me. I had to do something myself. When each and every person will be standing in front of the great white throne of judgment, after having spent maybe no small amount of time in hell. And each and every one of them, the Bible says, the books are opened. All the things that they have said and all the things that they have done are going to be compared against the books of the Bible. And there be no excuses. And I wouldn't want anybody I knew to be in that situation. I would rather you be in hell, a lazy Christian, having done nothing for Jesus, than be in hell as an industrious, lost, hell-deserving sinner. There'll be no excuses then. No matter what people think and no matter what they want, there will be no excuses Why did they not get saved? Oh, they were fuddy-duddies. Don't worry about them. Oh, why did you not get saved? Because I wanted to go out drinking at night. I wanted to go out carousing. I wanted to go out wrecking around me. And the Lord would say, well, how's that working for you now? It's not. There's no excuses. The Lord had been looking for excuses not to go to the cross of Calvary for you and me. I've got one straight away. I don't want to. And that's exactly what he said. I don't want to go to the cross of Calvary. Nevertheless, it is needful for me to go there and to suffer our sins on his shoulders so that we can live forever in heaven with him. I don't want to go. And those people that touched me and tried to arrest me, I've got 12 legions of angels, and they're champing at the bit to chop them into tiny little pieces. No one's found me guilty. There's no witnesses. The arrest was illegal. I can literally walk right out of here. He had every excuse in the world for not going. And it was all sat in front of him, and he never took any of them. He did that for us. His love for us provided that salvation and had him look over any excuse for not doing the most important work that has ever been done on the face of this world, paying for the sins of whosoever will. That is our great example. Now let us not make excuses. Let us make progress instead. Let us point ourselves in the right direction and take a step in that direction every day. Thank you for your good time, folks. I pray that was a help to you this morning. God bless you. I appreciate that. Does anybody have a closing hymn that they would like for us to sing by way of being done this morning, this afternoon?
441.
Which one's that, Will?
Jesus, like this one.
Sounds good to me. 441 in the big hymn book is an oldie called Greatest Night's Faithfulness. If you'd like to grab your hymn books and stand with me as we sing this closing hymn.
Thank you.
it's not as wet in the rest of the day as it was this morning. See, it travels home and back at the next appointed time. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and we'll say a wee prayer and we'll be dismissed. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this little bit of time set aside from the world. And I pray, Lord, that you would please see us safely home, Lord. And Lord, please continue the work in each one of our hearts and minds this day. And don't be done with us, Lord. Please keep using us. Please be with all those, Lord, that need you right now. And there's an awful lot. And Lord, deliver and help them. And Lord, just whatever it is that folks need their daily bread. Love you and thank you, Lord. Please bless us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit.